And now we're going to discuss, well, I should imagine, Donald Trump and a few other bits and pieces. Simon Marks is on the line from Washington. Good evening to you, Simon, or good morning, I should say.
And good morning
good
from
day.
Here, good evening to you there.
Let's start saying absolutely. Good day, Simon
good day.
Marks.
There you go.
Not much going on there in Washington at the moment. It's a bit boring.
Oh, another lovely, quiet start to the week. I don't know what I'm going to do. I shall have to put my feet up and, I don't know, let's see. Yes, it's all kicking off up on Capitol Hill, and it's going to be a week of intense interest as senior figures from Donald Trump's world are called to testify before the various committees that are investigating whether the Trump election campaign team last year in any way colluded with the Russians to swing the outcome of the presidential election. And it's kicked off this morning with Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law. He's married, of course, to Ivanka Trump. He is a very senior and busy figure within President Trump's administration at the White House. But at the moment, he is answering questions before the Senate Intelligence Committee. He is doing so behind closed doors. This is not a public hearing. And he is also doing so not under oath. He hasn't had to raise his right arm and promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. He is vigorously pushing back on any suggestion that he was involved in collusion with the Russian government. I did not collude, he says, in the prepared remarks that he is delivering before the committee. They were distributed to journalists at dawn here this morning. He says that he was extraordinarily busy helping his father-in-law during the election campaign, was something of a political neophyte, didn't necessarily understand the way in which campaigns worked or political rules governed the kind of conversations that he could have been having, but he vigorously denies any suggestion that there was an attempt to collude with the Russians. He says of two telephone calls that he's reported to have had with the Russian ambassador to the United States, I am highly skeptical these calls took place. We have reviewed the phone records available to us and have not been able to identify any calls to any number we know to be associated with Ambassador Kislyak. And of that very controversial meeting that was put together by associates of Donald Trump Jr., the president's son, with a Russian attorney that at the time Donald Trump Jr. thought was officially representing the Russian government, well, Jared Kushner moves to divorce himself completely from the president's son. In this statement, he says that he went to the meeting, but he arrived late. He missed any vaguely controversial conversation. He found that he was in a room with a Russian attorney who was talking about the Russian ban on Americans being allowed to adopt Russian children, all part of back-and-forth sanctions that the two countries have placed on one another. And he found the meeting so boring that he sent an email to his assistant asking her to call him on his cell phone so that he could make an excuse and leave the room. Now, you know, it is notable that he is divorcing himself from the very, very grave questions that Donald Trump Jr. will face later this week about that meeting and about whether he thought at the time, as email records suggest, that he was engaged in conversations that were part of a Russian government attempt to help his father get elected. So all eyes are going to be on Capitol Hill all week, and as you would expect, Donald Trump has been firing back on Twitter here this morning, insisting that he doesn't understand why his own Justice Department and the man he described as his beleaguered Attorney General Jeff Sessions are not investigating Hillary Clinton for what he refers to as the many crimes she committed. So another baffling series of developments here.
Simon, one meeting, but yet so many revelations. Clearly that's one you are going to be watching. But let's talk the mooch, okay? The White House team has got a new member, of course, a new White House communications director. What can we expect for him, particularly as he's being criticised for deleting a whole set of tweets that seem to go against everything that Donald Trump stands for?
Yes, in engaging, as he put it, in an act of full transparency. He put a tweet out over the weekend saying, in the interests of full transparency, he wanted to tell everybody that he was deleting all the things that he'd said on social media that were critical of Donald Trump in the past. I mean, the idea that that is an act of full transparency is simply laughable. Look, Anthony Scaramucci has been ubiquitous on Fox News here and the Fox Business Network since the election campaign. Initially, he was a critic of Donald Trump, described him as a hack, was supporting another Republican in his quest for the Republican presidential nomination, Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, but belatedly Anthony Scaramucci joined the Trump train, and Donald Trump is enamored with him. He loves the way that he has been so combative on cable television here defending President Trump's record. So he's come to town, has immediately been named White House Communications Director. That led to the sudden resignation of Sean Spicer. We discovered that there was indeed a straw that could break that particular camel's back, and it was Donald Trump's decision to give Anthony Scaramucci the job that Sean Spicer had wanted, namely Communications Director within the Trump administration. At the end of the day, the problem is fundamental. Donald Trump thinks that if only he can bring more competent staff to the table, they will have a better time of it getting messaging from the White House straight and improving the communication strategy that the White House engages in. That completely ignores the fact that as long as Donald Trump has a very loud and vocal Twitter account and does what he did yesterday, what he did again at dawn this morning, fires off these erratic, unexpected tweets that he hasn't cleared with any members of his staff, hasn't even discussed with his communications director, anybody representing him publicly is constantly going to be on the back foot. President Trump thinks that this shakeup is going to improve things. Most people here in Washington think that it won't be long before Anthony Scaramucci is the new Sean Spicer.
Oh, we look forward to his highlights reel then, Simon. We did enjoy sharing some of Sean Spicer's highlights on the programme last night, as I know a lot of the American channels there have done as well.
It is, and it is just worth very, very briefly making a point about Sean Spicer and all of these people. I mean, first of all, they are not anything like any previous White House press secretaries or communications directors. These are pretty crude propagandists. And secondly, they do show up for work willingly and voluntarily every day. No one's forcing them to go, as Sean Spicer did on a regular basis, and lie from behind the podium. So they're totally different than any of their predecessors, Republicans or Democrats before them.
I think, yeah, the whole administration is totally different from anything we've seen previously, isn't it? Right, let's move away from politics, though, Simon. And before we let you go, just update us on a really tragic human trafficking story that's coming out of Texas.
Yes, awful events over the weekend in the city of San Antonio in Texas. A large truck was discovered in a parking lot after apparently the driver went into a nearby shop and asked for some water. And inside the back of the truck, there were eight people dead. A ninth person later died in hospital, and at least 30 other people suffering from very, very bad cases of dehydration and heat stroke. All of this part of some kind of human trafficking operation. The driver has been taken into custody. He comes from Florida. He'll be appearing in court in San Antonio a little bit later on here today as investigators try to piece together where these people came from, how long they were in the back of that truck, which was not air-conditioned. They had no access to any kind of cooling, no access to any kind of water supply. I can tell you I'm personally very familiar with the city of San Antonio, and at this time of the year, temperatures down there soar way in excess of 100 degrees Fahrenheit. So the conditions in the back of that truck would have been absolutely abysmal. And the authorities say that while this is a terrible, terrible tragedy, especially given the size rise of the death toll, it is just one example of the desperate lengths that people will go to in order to try and find their way across various borders and into the United States. And they also say that several people were picked up from that truck, that people were waiting in the car park for the truck to arrive, and some people left and went on their way. So they're obviously trying to trace them as well, but an absolutely dreadful situation.
Absolutely is. Thank you very much, Simon, as ever. We look forward to catching up with you next week. Have a good week. I think it's going to be a busy one. I'm sure you'll enjoy it.
Absolutely. You too, guys. Take
Thanks,
care.
Simon. That was Simon Marks there in Washington for us.